Where'd you all come from? When I sat down, there weren't many of you here. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Thanks for this. Thank you very much. By the way, any of you have precious memories of your mama? Any of you? I do too. I would love to have any of you, and I even wanted to do this, and if you all wouldn't sit so far to the back like Methodists do, but Baptists don't do that, you know. We sit in the front and harass the pastor. We do that, but I'm happy to be here. My sweetheart is right here too. That's Barbara, and I proposed to her many moons ago, and we've been living and loving it as husband and wife for 61 years. How about that? I think men, when you find a keeper, keep her. Right? Three men say, amen. Don't overdo it, guys. You got three guys here looking, right? Got any over here? No, you found one. Okay. You're you sure did. Happy Mother's Day to you. What's that? Did you steal that baby? How old is that baby? Oh, my land, I remember those days, and I thank you, Lord, they're over. When you didn't get any sleep. Does anybody remember that? And we say once in a while, Happy Mother's Day. And I have some awfully good memories, too. Awfully good ones, and I'm sure you do. We won't take time to share them, but I wish we were in a Bible study kind of group where you could, because I'm sure there would bring a tear or two. And I know with me, as we were driving in from Lancaster County, I thought, just simply, I knew what I was going to speak, but I just had to just think about my mother and what she meant to me. And Mom had three boys, a husband and three boys. And she, her favorite song was, Lord, Deliver Me, you know. It really was from all of us. But we have three children, one of each. You'll get that in a minute. You'll get that in a minute. One, we don't know what that one is. We just don't know. It's been weird from birth, you know. But wonderful, wonderful. I got to tell you this for you that are young in years. I look at you two up here and you guys, and I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I'm going into the sunset years. We are there. But when I look back and I see what happened to me, you see, I was studying at Ohio University to be an accountant. I wanted to become a CPA more than anything. And I ended up meeting a friend who told me one day about Jesus. Because you see, men and women, I was not raised in a Christian home. That was the farthest thing in the world from our home. And what I'm trying to say is this, when Jesus Christ comes into a life, things begin to change. And may I say, I was 20 years of age then, and I got such a good dose of Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've never been the same. And it happened here this morning. We came the turnpike to 611 and came out 611. And we stopped at Wawa, my favorite devotional place. I love Wawa. I really do. I think it's the greatest. And if you've ever go to Florida, they've got them there now. So you have a reason to go to Florida, okay? But you see, you don't know this, but what began 20 years ago is still going on, because I love to share my Savior. And at Wawa is one of my favorite places. And just this morning, as I walked in, I opened the door for my wife. Hey, guys, did you hear that? I opened the door for the lady of my life. Hey, you guys, remember that, will you? Remember that. And that, doesn't that sound like home? What'd she do to that little one? What? You wonder. But anyway, as I walked in, I held the door for my sweetheart, and I held the door for another lady. Little be knowing, I went in, got a restroom and a coffee, and when I get in the coffee area, I also say this. We've got to, and I say it loud enough, we must feed our addictions. And guess what? That starts a conversation. And don't be afraid of that. People today began smiling and making conversation back and forth. And I went into one Wawa, and behind the counter was a young woman. Her back was to me, and she had her hands like this, and her shoulders were going like this. Well, what do you think when you see that? There's a problem. There's a problem. And I said to her, excuse me, I'm a grandpa. And when I see our daughters, when I've seen our daughters or our granddaughters with their hands over their eyes and their shoulders going like this, I said, sometimes I cry with them. And she turned around like this, and tears were going down her cheeks. And I said, not only do I care, but I know someone that cares far more than I do. And that's a Savior called Jesus Christ. The tears dried up. And she smiled. I said, do you have a problem with work here? I could help you resolve it. She said, no, it's personal. I said, well, you determine right now, sweetheart, to do what's right in this situation, and you'll begin solving it right now and ask God for his strength. Have you looked to be a blessing, friends? Because what you're doing, and I'm leading to a message, is every one of you is leaving an inheritance. Every one of you, no exception. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you're leaving an inheritance as to the kind of person you are. And there's a big argument among people today, and if you haven't read it, keep your ears and eyes open. What should a person do? Should I now, as a great-grandfather, be sure I leave something to my great-grandchildren? Should I leave something to my grandchildren? What do I do as an inheritance to leave? And I'm always thinking, as you are, money. But you know what? I got inquisitive of God in my own study, and I began to dig. And I said, Lord, is it only money? Because if it's money, I'll be a failure. I didn't go into the ministry and to missions for the money. But I went into it for the results. And I began to dig, and I said, Lord, are there inheritances in the Bible that are more than money, more than things, more than that that will fade away? And guess what? I found four. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, would you? Revelation chapter 5, if you would. Start there. And by the way, while you're turning there, has anybody in this congregation ever had a milkman? You know, you don't. Oh, yeah, there's a hand. They're usually older folk, but you younger, there's one over there who's not old. She's young. She's had a milkman. Well, did you know that online there are the Milkman Archives? And I love to laugh at what some people do and what they write. And I had to copy about five of them. I want to share them with you. And what these are notes that people who had milk delivered to their home, and they left them notes. And you're not going to believe what I'm about to share with you. Some of the notes. The first one was this. Dear milkman, I just had a baby. Please leave another one. I think I know what she meant, but what did she mean? You know? Okay, let's go down further. Sorry not to have paid your bill before, but my wife had a baby and I've been carrying it around in my pocket for weeks. What kind of notes are these, you know? It says, when you leave my milk, knock on my bedroom window and wake me because I want you to give me a hand to turn my mattress around. True story, true notes that people wrote. Can you believe it? Please send me a form for cheap milk. For I have a baby 2 months old and did not know about it until a neighbor told me. I don't know about this. My back door is open. Please put the milk in the fridge. Get money out of the cup in the drawer and leave change on the kitchen table because I want to play bingo tonight. These are true stories, true things. And I read the last two. When you come with the milk, please put the coal on the boiler, let the dog out, and put a newspaper inside the screen door. P.S. Don't leave any milk. And I love the last one. It says, no milk, please. Do not leave milk at number 14 either, as he is dead until further notice. These are true notes left to milkmen in the past. No wonder they're extinct, milkmen. Revelation chapter 5. Bob, Pastor Bob said to me, he threatened me. He did. He said, Paul, push our anniversary weekend, June 5 through 7. He says, we're giving you an honorarium, but if you don't mention this, you have to give it back. Okay? He didn't say that. Don't do that. No, I'll pick on him. But really, remember that. 60 years. And by the way, I'm the past president of Churches and Missions, where Scott and Lynn Jackson, former pastor and wife, where they serve. You know that. But they just returned, if you didn't know it, 1 week ago from Brazil, where she taught and he taught, and they led a group from another church, 12 people, on a short-term mission trip to Brazil. Their lives have changed, folks. You invested well in them, and they're great people. We're glad we're a part of their team. But let me share with you, I just have a lot of time, and Pastor Bob told me when to finish. So he's a good pastor. But would you remind him when to finish himself, would you? Let's get even with him if you want to, okay? I'd like to share with you an inheritance. Because you see, I really mean this. There's an argument, and the argument continues, and the argument is this. Should I leave things for my children? Money, house, land, whatever, should I leave for them? Or should I, as I age, depend on my children to help me? There's a real argument, a real philosophy, a real fight in America about that. But we know this, don't we? We live among the Amish, and there's no question about the Amish. When they have a home, when mom and dad buy the farm and that, what's the next thing? When they retire, they build a house for the grossfather, the grandfather, on the house where the kids take care of grandma and grandpa. Now, I like that. I really like that. I've told my kids, but they all have bad hearing. They just don't listen to grandpa or dad. But really, there's an argument about this. But what I'd like to share with you, if giving money and things is the dream of people's lives, what are you going to leave? May I tell you about a mother that I know who was left, she became a widow, and she was left a meager inheritance. And what she ended up doing is she took that and put it aside and suffered in her own life to keep that meager amount of money for her children. I know that's true. That was my mother. You see, what I'm saying to you is, talk to the Lord about this, but let me give you four things the Bible teaches that are going to last, that every one of you, you're on even keel, every one of us, we can leave four different things, and you may find the fifth. And if someday you find the fifth, would you tell me? And I'll share it around the world. But these four things, listen to this verse of scripture that I discovered. You don't need to turn to it. You're in Revelation 5. Judges 2:10 says, And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. Have you ever asked that question? How's the next generation going to carry the ball? I ran track in high school, and I would on a relay. And what you do is you pass the baton. You run your rounds, and you pass it on to the next person. May I ask you a question? You are going to do it. And my question to you is, and to myself, what are we going to leave to the next generation? Did you know that right now there's a revival going on in America? It's a true story. A friend of mine from Bloomington, Indiana, who taught at Indiana University there. He says, Paul, please pray for us. Revival is broken out in Bloomington. Revival has broken out in two other cities in Indiana. Revival has broken out into an area of LA. Revival has broken out in Minnesota. God is at work to change people's lives. We're not the losers, folks. Don't crawl under a tent or under a bush and hide because there's another religion coming and threatening our world. No, Jesus Christ will win. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. He will win. But you see, he saved you, he saved me to pass on an inheritance. I'd like to show you Revelation 5:8, please. And as you look, it says, when he had taken the book, well, verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. This is in heaven. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. You know who that Lamb is? Jesus Christ. And they fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp, and golden bowls full of incense, which are what? The prayers of the saints. No one ever told me that God keeps our prayers. No one ever told me that God stores them. And boy, that could be a Bible study in itself to talk about that. That he stores our prayers. That's how precious they are to him. And they come as you begin to read this scripture, as a sweet odor to him, and that they last and they last and they last and they last to glory. Now, what's an inheritance? What inheritance can you leave and can I leave? Which, what can we do? May I ask you a question? How many of your prayers is God retaining to open in glory? How many prayers of yours? When have you prayed and you think it's Mother's Day? And I look back now, how many times I didn't pray for my mother in the early years? How many times, men, have you gone before the holy God and said, Lord, take that lady that loves me, and would you bless her today and make her a blessing? How many times, men and women, have we set aside a time just to pray and thank God and pray for certain things? Do you know how precious that is to God? I never knew that. I've been in college, been to college. I've been to seminary. No one ever told me that God retains our prayers as part of who we were this side of glory. Our prayers. Wow. How are you doing with them? Have you prayed lately about what you should? Or have you taken time? Take a time to do it. I love this story. I spent 7.5 years in China, back and forth, teaching the house churches. And one young man, they found him worshiping, and the communists put him in prison, and they put him in the place where you see today, where the waste plants are. And they put him wading up thigh high in human waste with a paddle. And guess what? He said at first it shocked him. At first it shocked him to be put in a place like that. He says the stench, the gases and all this, he said, terrible. But then he said he realized, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No one else will come around this area. So I can just sing and praise the Lord and pray in the middle of what you and I would consider a calamity. I only said that to say to each of you, China, within 15 years, is going to be the most Christian nation on earth. Why? Persecution has driven people to make commitments like this man whom I taught in China and taught them to be such an example and to leave an inheritance. Why didn't he kill himself? Why didn't he just give up? Why didn't he go crazy? No, he became a testimony and he prayed for those around him and he left an inheritance. What kind am I going to give? What kind are you? I want you to know this, since I found that truth, I'm praying for Barbara more than I ever did. I'm praying for our children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and praying for people I meet. And yes, even the young lady in Wawa who stood like this weeping. And when it was all over, she came to me and hugged me. You see, you leave an inheritance, Mr. and Mrs., young man, young woman, whomever you are. You and I leave an inheritance, and one of those is prayer. No one ever told me prayers last on and on and on. But how full is that prayer urn that has your name on it? When I think of that, it touches my heart. I've yet to discover, and I wrote this to myself, I've yet to discover the scriptures that direct me to leave only money or possessions, but I have found things that last that are worthy to pass on to our offspring, spring, and one of those is prayer. Turn to 1 Timothy 4:12, would you please? 1 Timothy 4:12. Should have given these scriptures to your men in the booth. They could project them here. 4:12, please. It says, let me, and here Paul is talking to Timothy, and everybody thinks Timothy is a young man, but Timothy was 50 years old here. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example. To whom? Everybody always says, to the world, the lost world, it says here, be an example to believers. Got any examples in this church? Is there anybody who stands out when you think here's an example of a dear lady or a man who stands out as an example of the Lord? I began to write myself this note. You see, people need that. People need an example, and I'm hurrying time-wise. People need an example like no other, and let me give you one. Don't turn to it, but let me read to you. Psalm 145, verse 4 reads, one generation shall praise the Lord to another and shall declare their mighty works. Let me ask you something. I've got a very nice newer car sitting in this driveway. We live in a retirement community in Lancaster County. Are we blessed? You bet your life we are. Did we think we would ever have that? Not in your life. But guess what we do? Every time our grandchildren come to our house or we go to theirs, you know what Grandpa does? Grandpa takes some time, say, hey kids, come here. I want to tell you how God has blessed Grandma and Grandpa. I praise the Lord to their, so that this next generation can know what's the source of that house. What's the source of that car? What's the source of a happy marriage? What's the source of God blessing with health and the ability to do and to think and to challenge? These are gifts from God. How do you share them? What are you sharing? Do you have shoes to wear, any of you guys? Sure you do. You got nice clothes to wear too. Have you shared with anybody that these things are a gift from God? God's gift to you and to me. Who are you sharing it with? Do these people, the next generation, how are they ever going to hear if you and I don't pass it on? See, these are things that you can pass on and will last. A godly example will never be a failure. Never. There's a third area, and I hurry. And the third area, turn if you would. Oh, by the way, when you say a good example or a bad one, I listed Abraham Lincoln said in a quote, one of his staff said he was a total, that he, the staff member was a total failure. And Lincoln looked at him, and in Lincoln's logs of quotes, he said this, you're not a total failure. You can always be used as a bad example. Now, that's a very strange way of encouraging people, and you know that, and I do too. There's a third way that you can leave, or a third inheritance, is turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1, please. Right after Psalms, 22, verse 1. And it's found, this very same verse is found in another portion, very same words in another portion of the Bible. Found in Ecclesiastes 7:1. It says, look what it says in Proverbs 22:1. A good name is more desired than great wealth. What about your name? Remember my father taking us aside, us three boys, and said, young man, I want you to know something. You're a hat maker. And I want you to know we're passing along this name to you to wear it proudly. And wait a minute now. I looked at that and I said, wait a minute. What's he saying here? A good name is rather to be chosen. Let me give you an example where you'll understand what I'm talking about. I buried my mother, and I use this for today. I buried my mother, we did. Went into the funeral home and I said, hello, my name, you've not met me. I took him by the hand, says, my name's Paul Hatmaker. And I'd like you, my mother just passed away, and I'd like you to bury her and handle all the funeral arrangements. He said, what's that name again? I said, Hatmaker, and he frowned. And he turned around to his desk, and he began to type in, Hatmaker. I said, sir, would you stop a moment? Stop in your tracks, if you will. I'm not telling you what to do, but would you listen to me? He said, my little hometown in southern Ohio, filled with hatmakers. Some of them are drunks. All of the men that I, my father, my grandfather, my cousins, my uncles, all were womanizers. The hatmaker name was not a good one. But guess what I had the privilege of doing? I said, sir, I'm Paul Hatmaker. And if you will, please understand, I'm asking you to do something, and when you finish with the funeral, there will be a check in full on your desk. Because you see, I'm making an obligation, and as a Christian man, what obligations I make, I must fulfill. Because if I don't, I leave an inheritance of not keeping my word. And the scripture says, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. You be the extension, if you will. There may have been an ugly past, but I'm here to tell you, and my wife and I have talked about this and shed tears of joy, that the blood of Jesus Christ can change a lifestyle, can change the direction of a family, and I'm a walking example of that. God did it. Don't pat me on the back. God did it. And I'm passing that on to you, the next generation. A good name is another inheritance that won't cost you a thing except your dedication to God and to people. May I ask you something? This church also has a reputation. And you know what that reputation is? It's not just what was in the past. It's what's going on today. And it's with you personally as you go to Wawa, as you go to Wegmans, as you go to Walmart. You're taking him and your reputation with you. Let it shine. We've got something to stand for. And there's a fourth thing, and I must hasten on here. And the fourth thing is this. Turn with me to Revelation 14, 13, would you? Revelation 14, 13. Oh, by the way, you want to start something to cause some problems, men? Start something. I held the door at Wawa for another lady. Guess what she did? I held it for my wife, and as that woman walked in, and as she walked out, she said to my wife, "Your husband is, what did he say? What? Called me a gentleman." Whoa, you know? Guess what? That's all right. Did I do it to get that? Because I didn't know what the results were going to be. But that's what I do. Do you know why? To cause things to happen. That there's someone different in the house. There's someone here that cares about a woman, a lady, girl. For whom? For me to get whatever? No. It's for him to get the glory. That there's someone in this old world that won't run over you, but will open the door as a gentleman. A good name is rather to be chosen than riches. And then the last one is Revelation 14, 14:13. And it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Now, I know you're not dying, and you're not looking to get a group up to for that to happen today. But look what it reads about your future. And it says, "Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Your works do follow you. Wow. I looked at this and I said, well, what's the fourth thing I can leave? And that is this. Leave an inheritance of cherished memories. Got any that you can leave? And people will remember you too. Your labor, the scripture says, in the Lord is not in vain. And I say to you, what memories are you going to leave? We've had problems in our family. And they're ugly problems with attitudes and breaking the law and drugs and all that goes with it in our family. But may I say to all of you, that's in the past. God in his mercy has changed all of those lives, and we're going in the same direction. What kind of memories are you leaving? What kind of memories? Let me close with this, and I want you to go with me in your thoughts to Brazil. We went in Center City, São Paulo, Brazil. We got there, and I never saw a filthier place in my life. You've heard the comment that people were in the gutter. Well, they literally were. And I met a man called Joe. I never saw anything like Joe. Joe would take the men to his side, see to it they got a shower, take them into the kitchen, see to it these derelicts got food. But you see, I didn't know that. But 6 months before, Joe was in that gutter. And one day he heard a story. The story of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being buried and rising again. And he trusted that Christ. And the day that we were in the mission there, the rescue mission, the man was preaching. One of the men in the group was preaching. And one of the derelicts, reeking, smelly, ugly, disheveled, hadn't washed his head for God only knows when. He came to the altar, and he got on his knees at the altar and saying in Portuguese, oh God, make me like Joe. Oh God, make me like Joe. And the director of the mission came and knelt beside him and said, don't you think you ought to, rather than say, make me like Joe, shouldn't you say, oh God, make me like Jesus? And the derelict looked through bleary eyes and said to the director, is he like Joe? You see, they saw Joe, but they really saw Jesus. And when people see you and they see me, my prayer to God is they'll see something different than that that's going in the wrong direction. They'll see some men and women, boys and girls, that love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to say, I care. And let me finish. I still have 5 minutes. Would you go with me in your mind to Panera? We travel and we eat wherever we can. So we stopped at Panera to get a bowl of soup. I did. And when we finished, Barbara said, I'm going to go back to the restroom. And I took, as an obedient husband, took all the dirty dishes up to the thing at Panera. See, she's trained me well. And when I took the stuff up there, there was a man tidying up the coffee area. And I said, hey, you run a good ship here. And he looked at me, and I had my mission insignia on my shirt. He says, what's happening with you? What's that? And just then, and I've never done this before, but just then, because of that question, I said to him, sir, we've got a group in New Mexico with the Navajos right now. We got a group in Lithuania right now. And we've got one leaving tomorrow for Brazil. And he said, he turned pale. And I didn't know the man. And he said, sir, you don't know it, but 2 hours ago, he had a broken accent. He said, 2 hours ago, my wife on our couch at home prayed and pled with God, Lord, find a way for us to get back to my home country, Croatia, with the good news of Christ. Well, guess what? Guess what? The next day I was in their home. And now I'm happy to tell you, they're in Croatia, serving the Lord in seminary there to reach their own people for Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to leave an inheritance. And I want you to leave one. Because what's going to change this whole world if the likes of you and me don't get around the business of God in our everyday life? And I want to challenge you. You're going to leave an inheritance. Watch your mouth. Watch your actions. Watch your temptations. Watch your life. Let it be for His glory. And maybe someone will go to the altar someday and say, make me like one of you. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege of just sharing a bit of the word. Thanks, Lord, for breaking through to some of us. Because I believe this is dead serious, and we know those in this old world are leaving an inheritance of fear distrust, lying, deception, and all. And Lord, make us to realize that we, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. And there's more to this whole world than money and things. There are those things we can pass on that are eternal. And we thank you for that privilege and that high calling in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.